You know I read ahead all the time.
You can sit with John's not here. Verse 10, Ecclesiastes 6. I asked you to think about this, and I hope some of you did. That which hath been is named already, and it is known that it is man or of man, neither may he contend with him that is mightier than he. Now, we went to Job. Let's go to Job again, because it's real important. Job 9. This is all about how you have defined yourself. It's all about how you have established your own self-worth or esteem or whatever. And the reading is that which hath been named already and is known, it is known that it is of man. Neither may he contend with him that is mightier than he. Your entire life, or our entire life, we have defined ourselves by observation. I am or I am not. We moved constantly towards pleasure, towards something that we think is good, and away from pain. And so the sum total of all that process of our entire lives is who you think you are. But who you think you are is always has as a base reference something that is of man. Can you understand that? And that's how you define worth. Remember, you know how I think that how we our natural body activities reveal the mystery. You can't hold your breath for more than a few seconds, or maybe a minute or two at the most. And that's the need, the constant need for the Holy Spirit, because that's the type of, the breath is the type of the Holy Spirit. You constantly exhale that which has even been with you for a brief moment of time, and you inhale something new. Exhale, inhale, exhale, and you can only do that for a little bit. With regard to the liquids we drink, you can go for maybe 3 days without water or without liquid, and then you die. Well, the liquid is all about how you define your worth. And that's why the wine and the bread are so important in this communion, because if we could only pull ourselves out of defining ourselves by other men, then we would see that there is nothing that we must be in 100% constant dependence on man. And he lets us, you know, act like we're doing something for a little bit that isn't of the Holy Spirit, and then we have to exhale. We act like we can get by with our own definition of worth for a little while, and then we have to get more. We have to drink more. And then we can go without something that sustains or satisfies us, or the sustenance or satisfaction is what we eat, and you can go for, you know, maybe up to 40 days, a long time with what satisfies you, and then you finally need something more. And so most of our lives are based on either hunger or thirst, spiritually speaking. I mean, what it really means. Am I making any sense to you?
Yeah.
Okay, so now this here is about worth, how you define yourself. And so let's look at Job 9 a minute. Chapter 9, verse 32, yeah. But we need to go a little bit before that. Verse 25. Now my days are swifter than a post, or a the idea that they're swifter than a carrier pigeon or a messenger pigeon or a Pony Express or however you got your messages. They flee away, they see no good. They are passed away as the swift ships, as the eagle that hasteth to prey. If I say, I will forget my complaint, I will leave off my heaviness or depression and comfort myself, then I'm afraid of all my sorrows. I know that thou wilt not hold me innocent. If I be wicked or of the wicked one, why then labor I in vain? If I wash myself with snow water and make my hands ever so clean, yet shalt thou plunge me in the ditch, and mine own clothes shall abhor me. For he is not a man as I am, that I should answer him, and we should come together in judgment or in seeing clearly. Neither is there any daysman betwixt us that our counselor that might lay his hand upon us both. Let him take his rod away from me, and let not his fear terrify me. Then would I speak and not fear him, but it is not so with me. What Job is seeing finally is that his only definition of himself can come from God. There can be no esteem or definition of yourself other than God, because every one of those things is of that which is corruptible. Can you hear that?
That's interesting, because you can't ever capture it and say, oh, this is what it is, and then fix on it, because God is alive.
That's why our only worth, that's why when we take communion, Jesus said, as oft as you do this, do it in remembrance of me. Well, what is he talking about? He's talking about as often as you have some Passover ceremony. I believe he's talking about as often as you take water or liquids, and as often as you eat anything, use it as an opportunity to see that he alone is your bread, and he alone is your blood or liquid or worth, so that you're not seduced by all these other things that you eat. And it doesn't matter whether you're eating something positive or negative. If there's somebody that you hate, that'll feed you just as much as some harebrained cowboy game or basketball game or something that gives you sustenance and satisfaction. And it obviously gives you no worth, but you make believe it does. So then what happens then? You start starving so much that you start eating your children. You gain your sustenance and satisfaction or your disappointments from the accomplishment or failures of your children. And you get your worth from your children. And then what happens? Then you're so incredibly starved that you can't, what am I going to do? Then you have to get your worth from what you do. And that's like eating garments for your worth. What you do is just your garment. It can't sustain you. And so you spend your life searching for something to eat, searching for something to drink, searching for something, some breath that will give life instead of death. Am I communicating at all? Think of the stupid things that you've gotten sustenance and satisfaction from. What somebody's opinion of you is? Or you've murdered so many people because there's so much hatred that you get sustenance and satisfaction from eating that hatred. And it's all something that was named before, and it was named as emptiness and vanity and futility. But here you are eating it again, getting your worth from somewhere else, drinking more vomit, eating more vomit, dog returning to its own vomit. All tables are filthy and unclean, so that there's no place to eat. The only thing that can give you sustenance and satisfaction and worth is the blood and body of the Lamb of God. And as often as you eat or drink or do anything else, even breathe, it should be a constant reminder of that. And I promise you, slowly but surely, when you no longer give your idols any breath, then all of these other value systems that you've gotten sustenance and satisfaction and worth from just fade away because they're already ghosts. So that seemingly unimportant, that which hath been is named already, and it is known that it is of man. Neither may he contend with him that is mightier than he. And that's what we do. Every time you gain sustenance and satisfaction from something other than him, then you're saying, well, I'm so special that the sacrifice wasn't enough for me. Can you see why this is so important? Anybody have any response to this? All right, go to, wait a minute, where are we? Go to Isaiah 45. Take a right from Ecclesiastes. Verse 8. Drop down, you heavens from above, and let the skies pour down righteousness. Let the earth open, and let them bring forth salvation. Let righteousness spring up together. I, the Lord, have created it. Now, he's not talking about... Do you know that the word for rain and the word for revelation or the teacher of righteousness is the same word? So every time it rains, it should reveal this mystery of salvation. Every time it's dry, it should reveal the dryness of everything but him. Now, but woe unto him that striveth with his maker. Now, how do you strive? Nobody's going to strive with their maker if they knew where they're doing it. You know, that's kind of stupid. But here's what he says. Woe to him that striveth with his maker, let the potsherd strive with the potsherds of the earth. Shall the clay, in other words, what potsherd, you remember what a potsherd is? It's a shard, a piece of broken pottery. If the piece of broken pottery, which is the human race, is going to strive, let him strive with other potsherds. But if you see and know that you are the vessel of the Holy One of Israel, that this mystery of life has absolutely nothing to do with you, then you will stop having the I motive. And all the noises will go away because you've disempowered them. And so listen to what he says. Let the potsherd strive with the potsherds of the earth, but shall the clay say to him that fashioneth it, what makest thou, or thy work? He hath no hands. Every time you want your life to be different than it is at any given moment, you're saying, you're striving with God, saying, why have you made me thus? Why have you put this other potsherd next to me? Do you understand? You've got to read. Your definition of self is all screwed up because it is of man. In him, there's neither. There's no more. All where the Jews over there. This is, you can't believe what this thing in Lebanon's doing to me. Because I was over there, that's where I got held hostage the last time all this crap happened. But that too was of him. But it's like, oh, the Americans are, American Christianity is urging the Jews to take all the land from the Euphrates to the river of Egypt because that's the promised land. Well, what do you do about this? There is neither male nor female, bond or free, Greek or Jew. It's all gone. The most important nation is as the smallest dust of the weighing scale because the scale has already been weighed. Am I communicating?
I'm thinking on this, how you talked about defining, and as you go along, it's like you're defining yourself by your sensory perceptions, your emotional perceptions, your thought perceptions. Everything is about how you think of self. But
there's nothing new. So therefore, it's all somebody else's definition that you're just using. That's the point of it.
Blaming somebody
else. You haven't had any new thought. It's already been proven in 1,000,000,000,000,000 times that all you can think about and all of your definitions of self have already ended in death. So you're just borrowing somebody else's and thinking it's you. It's just it's a joke. Then you create whole areas of science to prove the idiocy. And on you love to tell people how they should live their lives. Nobody cares.
Powerless thing I'm still struggling with. I'm sorry, I'm back a few grades from everybody else. But
powerless?
Oh, yeah. I know I'm powerless, but at the same time, I still feel the need to try to do something.
That's because?
I know, that I word in there. But still.
Well, you got to do it. You got to go do as much as you want to, as much as you think. It's only, this place is for those who know that everything they have done hasn't worked. And there's nothing else that they can conceive of that will work. If you don't know that, then this is the stupidest place in the universe for you to be. Let me give you the perfect... Mark, what's his name?
Levin?
No, Mark, from a long time ago. Mark Chicago. Chicago Mark.
Miller.
Mark Miller. Mark, if you're listening. Mark was Mr. Everything at SMU. He was the best looking guy at SMU. He was he could have turned pro and as a tennis player. He was brilliant. He was an athlete. He was the best that Adam can be. And he graduated. His dad bought him a seat on the Chicago Board of Trade because he wanted to. But he was listening to the tapes. Harry would send him the tapes. And so he was listening to me say this stuff, and it was in total conflict with his primary goal. His primary goal, and this was back in the late 70s and early 80s, his primary goal was that he wanted to have $1 million in his hands. Just hold on to it. Then, so finally he said, he called me and he said, I can't listen to you anymore. And I said, that's great. Don't listen. Whatever it is, go do whatever you think you got to do. But don't be stupid enough to sit around listening to me I'm only talking to those whose life has failed them. I'm not trying to tell you how to be successful or how to be a good person or a good parent or a good anything. I'm talking to those people whose life has failed them. But what really busts me is when people whose everything has failed them and then they defend the system that failed them. which has happened in innumerable times, especially from some of the people in this room. I don't care. I don't care what you do. But you've got to find out for yourself. I don't want you to pay any attention to me. If you don't know that your life is futile and empty and vain, and that all you're going to do is die, and the memory of you will be as a smoke of a used cigarette, then if, as long as you got to strive and do and be and then you shouldn't come here.
Beyond all that.
There's no beyond all that.
Yes, there is, because I still believe that we're here for a reason.
Well, then that's fine. Then you shouldn't be here. The only reason you are here is to be a vessel for the Holy One of Israel. And that vessel is so in his, that Holy One is in his humility is so humble, so totally empty, that he cannot and will not occupy where you are. So every single time you try to do something, he goes, he takes a seat lower than you can imagine. Because you have to come to the end of that. And if you don't want to come to the end of that, that's not my business. And if you think I still have to do and try and be, then go be. But don't be a fool and listen to me while you're going and trying to be, because all you'll get is psychotic. You understand, Mr. Michael? What are you laughing at? And you're speaking from experience.
Those things have been worked out. It can drive you really, really crazy.
You hear? I'm not trying to talk you into anything. I don't care what you believe. I'm just being like I'm being something that's like I don't know what it is. An irritant is the best. I'm an irritant. Huh? And Burkhardt, what do you call me? An ornery.
Like
call me ornery.
Yeah,
I'm like a gnat.
Like a stone in your shoe. Thorn in your.
I got a lot of.
So, I don't. If that's what you feel, I'm not going to try to talk you out of anything.
Yeah, this recent thing. Absolutely right. Yeah, but the reason has, again, nothing to do with you.
The only thing
back to ourselves.
Yeah, right. As long as the subject of your sentence is I, then you're lost. I promise you, there isn't a person in the universe that wants to hear that. You know, I'm a reasonably good speaker. All I would have to do is to change it just a slight. I could just change it a little bit, and I could probably have an audience of real people.
A lot of people.
A few. I would never have a lot. I could have tried to be Pat Robertson, as I said in the letter.
This reminds me of your description of hell, an eternity spent self-seeking with an accusing heart. That's the state of trying to listen to this crap, and that's the state of trying to have a foot in both worlds. Because all the preaching does is just empower the accusing heart.
Yeah, I'm shocked that one person listens to me. I knew this from the very first. Why in God's name would anybody listen to this idiot? So I have no illusions about trying to talk anybody into anything. Wade got mad at me and left for what? How many years? 12 or 8, something like that. 8 years.
Went out for cigarettes.
He went out for cigarettes, came back 8 years later.
It wasn't I was mad at you, I just wanted to be alone.
With your thoughts.
Yeah. Great for a while.
You got to get this through your heads. I'm not trying to talk you into anything. I can only be a witness to that which you already know. And there isn't one of you that doesn't already know that your little activities are just absolutely inane, trite, banal, whatever the word is. Your whole life is forgettable. So is mine. And so this is a place you come when you know that. If you don't know that, or at least if you don't suspect that it's true, then you shouldn't be here. Well, if you're going to come here to learn something, that's cool. You know, what are you going to learn? You're listening to an idiot. What could you possibly learn from an idiot? Back to Isaiah 45. Woe unto him that striveth with his maker. Let the potsherd strive with the potsherds of the earth. But shall a clay say to him that fashioneth, what makest thou? Or thy work, he hath no hands? Woe unto him that saith unto his father, what begettest thou? Or to the woman, what hast thou brought forth? Thus saith the Lord, the Holy One of Israel, and his maker, ask me of things to come concerning my sons and concerning the work of my hand. Command you me. It's the only time you can command God. And that's to reveal his son. But I promise you, for him to reveal his son to you costs you your life. Can't have both. It's probably a good place to stop. Anybody have any response?
I was thinking about how old this message is in the sense of man is always trying to live forever and perfect himself, and the Egyptians went so far as to do their pyramids and save their corpses, and those corpses are paraded around even today. It means nothing for your body and yourself. You all end up
just relics of the past. Then we make the relics valuable. That's what we make diamonds are really valuable. First of all, they're really valuable because there's a cartel that controls everything, but they're valuable. They're just dust. They're made of the dust of the earth. How can that be valuable?
Someplace it says our life is a bottle of smoke.
Yeah. It's a puff of smoke, I think. You are wearied in the greatness of your way. Yet you sayeth not, there is no hope. For you found anew the life of your own hand, your own ideas. Therefore you are not grieved. So this goes on over and over and over and over and over and over. And then they walk in the sparks that you have kindled. This shall you have of mine hand. You shall lie down in sorrow. Anybody want to kindle some sparks? That's what you've done. Your whole life is based on ideas and what you think about this. Now you can put this in. All a genius is people who think they can put two disparate objects together for a new purpose. What big deal? Still, dust It's still just a bunch of potsherds trying to think they're something. Anybody else? Mr. Bloom? Mr. Bojo? I was going to call him Mr. Bloom. I was thinking about John.
Is he here?
What's he do back?
I don't know.
Why is this guy blue?
Why is Ronnie sitting here?
Because he can't get his ass out of bed in time to get here.
Take it, big guy.
I want it to be closer.
Oh, shut up.
Oh, man.